City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to Windy City Queercast, show number 478. I'm Amy Matheny, and wow, we are smack dab in the middle of July, and gay pride feels like a distant dream that we were in June. We are right in the middle of the summer, folks, or at least it feels that way for those of us in the Chicago area, and hopefully you're staying cool and enjoying friends and family and revving up, you know, and the street festivals are so great here in Chicago, and I'm doing a little traveling, so I'll be excited to tell you all about that coming up in some upcoming shows. But the month of June, and actually starting back in March and April, we start this search, and this is the 10th year, where we have gone around the city of Chicago in various bars and clubs and sought for the best amateur singer in the GLBT community. And this is an idea that obviously is a send up of American Idol and its popularity 10 years ago. We decided to do this event, put some of our sponsors together with it. It was such a fun time. And since the very first year, I've been always so impressed by the talent in the Chicago GLBT community. I mean, we've obviously had outlandish, fun entertainer types, outrageous performers, male, female, young, old, every color and ethnicity and background you can think of over our 10 years. And just lots of memorable moments. The people who come out year after year after year that I enjoy. And it wouldn't be a Gay Idol event with us at Windy City Media without them. All the many people who've judged for us over the years. Sophia Sapphire, who was one of our judges, who now hosts the event for me. Because after 8 years, I just felt like I was done hosting the event. And then it needed to move on to somebody else, and Sophia stepped up, and I've had such great promotions directors over the years. Kathleen Alm being our original promotions director, and coming up with the idea and concept with me years ago, and now Cynthia Holmes, who runs the event, and just so many great sponsors over the year. This year, we were so honored to have Smirnoff with us and Tourism Vancouver, many of the Marriott hotels in Vancouver, American Airlines. And of course, forever and always, Windy City Media Group and all of our products, but also Cray on the karaoke, who has been spinning the tunes for our singers for 10 years, every event. And all the many bars and accounts that were with us this year. It's just, it takes such a village, and we just can't do it without all of them. Broadway in Chicago stepping up this year, giving us tickets to Rock of Ages. You know, and these grand prizes that the idol wins, they win cash. And our gay idol won tickets from Smirnoff to go see the Madonna concert this fall with great seats. And also Tourism Vancouver sent somebody from our audience and also our gay idol to Vancouver in the upcoming year, where our new gay idol will perform and visit during their Pride, which is the week before our market day. So coming up here in a couple weeks. And we did crown a new gay idol. And I think we've had an equal number of male and female winners. We had a male winner this year, just like last year. TJ gave up his crown to Robert Hughes, who is from the South. He's from Tennessee. So he and I have a lot in common. He is new to Chicago. He's cute, cute, cute. And he sings like a mofo. And it was really amazing that all three of the well, actually, the top 12 was amazing this year. Actually, the top 23 was amazing. But a great sing-off of the top three. So a lot of great stories there. But we're going to share with you the winner's story, Robert Hughes. And I'm going to sit down with him today. Plus, so you'll get to know him because he'll be reigning for us for a year. He's already sung at the Women's Football Force playoff game a couple weeks ago. And he will continue to make appearances across Chicago. So you'll hopefully get to know Robert and see how proud you are that he is representing us in the GLBT community in Chicago. So sitting down with Robert Hughes, our 2012 Windy City Gay Idol. Also, Kirk Williamson and I have the news for you. What's going on in the theater? Some great shows still to see that have a number of more weeks here in July to go see them into early August. And much, much more. So sit back, get somewhere cool, and meet our new gay idol, Robert Hughes.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. Contributions to the Obama campaign skyrocketed in the 3 days following the president's announcement that he supported marriage equality. The campaign raised nearly $9 million over 3 days, compared with $3.4 million in the three previous days. The numbers include contributions from people who gave at least $200.
Former U.S. Representative Patrick Murphy, who sponsored legislation to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, announced his endorsement of Trevor Thomas, a gay congressional hopeful in Michigan. Thomas, who has worked with HRC and SLDM, also worked to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Thomas, 28, is competing in the Democratic primary for the chance to represent a district held by Republicans since 1976.
Think Progress says that Democratic Senators Daniel Akaka of Hawaii, John Kerry of Massachusetts, and Patty Murray of Washington, as well as Texas Representative Barbara Lee, are the most LGBT-supportive members of Congress. Lee led the pack by sponsoring or co-sponsoring 23 out of 27 pro-LGBT bills. Think Progress also identified the seven most anti-gay representatives on Capitol Hill, including Representative Tim Hulskamp, a Kansas Republican who authored multiple anti-gay amendments and bills.
In Florida, the North Miami Beach gay male strip club Swingin' Richards is suing the city to allow its dancers to perform nude. Since 1994, North Miami Beach has banned total nudity in clubs where liquor is sold, but the city never enforced the ordinance until after Swingin' Richards opened last October. The club's location has featured nude female dancers for more than 20 years. Two other clubs in North Miami Beach, Dean's Gold and G5 Lounge, also feature total female nudity.
Married gay couple Brian Edwards and Tom Privateri are angry after the anti-gay hate group Public Advocate of the United States stole one of their wedding photos and used it in a political attack ad. Public Advocate used the image in an ad meant to attack pro-gay Colorado State Senator Gene White.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the Aura Quick In-Home HIV test, the first over-the-counter self-administered HIV test kit to detect the presence of antibodies to HIV virus types 1, HIV 1, and 2, HIV 2. The test allows individuals to collect an oral fluid sample by swabbing the upper and lower gums inside their mouths. Then they place that sample into a developer vial and obtain test results within 20 to 40 minutes. The CDC estimates that 1.2 million people in the U.S. are living with HIV.
The parents of Tyler Clementi, the Rutgers University student who committed suicide after finding out that a same-sex tryst involving him was caught on camera, say their son's death has made them rethink homosexuality, which they no longer believe is a sin, Reuters reported. Joseph Clementi, Tyler's father, told NBC, "Sin needs to be taken out of homosexuality. Our children need to understand, and adults need to understand, that they're not broken. Incidentally, son James Clementi is also gay.
Mainers United for Marriage, a group working for passage of a ballot question that would legalize same-sex marriage in Maine, announced that its fundraising has passed the $1 million mark. The campaign also said that 64% of its donations have come from inside the state and that its volunteers have spoken to 10,000 voters on the issue.
The boards of directors of the pro-LGBT organization Service Members Legal Defense Network and OutServe announced the intent to combine the two organizations into a single organization by October. There will be a new name and a newly configured board of directors led by a representative from each existing organization. OutServe rose to prominence after it began as an underground network of LGBT service members connected via Facebook that now has more than 5,500 members worldwide.
Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders has announced the Transgender Family Law, a guide to effective advocacy, is now available electronically for most e-readers. The cost is less than $4. Transgender Family Law is the first book to comprehensively address the legal issues facing transgender people in the family law context. It offers practitioners tools to effectively represent their transgender clients who routinely face bias and discrimination in the courts.
In world news, a major poll by Stonewall Scotland has revealed that the majority of the Scottish population, 67%, support same-sex marriage. Most of the poll's respondents, about 60%, also believe LGBT people face societal prejudice.
Members of the U.S. Congress have called for action regarding violence against the LGBT community in Honduras. A letter addressed to U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, more than 80 congressional Democrats expressed concern about the violence. Human rights groups in Honduras say that more than 70 LGBT individuals have been murdered since 2009.
Tanya Olive, a lesbian photographer who just graduated from Westminster University, has won the British Journal of Photography's Best in Show Award for her collection, Dyke of Our Time, at Free Range, Britain's largest collection of student shows. Olive's collection of straight-on portraits of lesbians at home that offers a new look at frequently stereotyped groups will be featured in the July edition of the journal.
In Cuba, gay rights activists held a kiss-in to demand equality for the island's LGBT residents. The demonstration at the Ramon Fonst Sports Arena had 50 participants holding banners calling for more respect from the communist government.
And in entertainment news, United States wrestler Stephanie Lee has been suspended for a year and will relinquish her spot on the Olympic team after testing positive for marijuana. Lee, who Advocate.com says is an out lesbian, also tested positive for marijuana in 2009. She has accepted the sanctions and must forfeit any medals, points, or prizes dating back to her positive test. In a statement, Lee, 27, said she hopes to represent the United States at the 2016 Olympics.
Out singer Adam Lambert kicked off his highly anticipated mini tour with Queen, fronting the band at Independence Square in Kiev, Ukraine. They performed a two-hour set in the Euro 2010 fan zone as part of a joint concert with Elton John to benefit the Elena Pinchuk Anti-AIDS Foundation. Lambert first performed with Queen as a contestant on American Idol, later joining the band at the 2011 MTV European Music Awards.
The web series Husbands will be back for another season, premiering August 15th. The show, headed by Buffy the Vampire Slayer writer Jane Espenson and Brad Bell, is described as the world's first marriage equality comedy. Set in a fictional United States where same-sex marriage is legal everywhere, two male celebrities, an actor and a baseball player, drunkenly decide to marry while in Las Vegas. Episodes are at husbandsoftheseries.com.
TNT has started its renewals with a four-season order to its new flagship series, Rizzoli and Isles, and a second-season pickup, the freshman reboot, Dallas. Both have received 15-episode orders to air in 2013. Rizzoli and Isles ranks as summer's number one returning scripted series on basic cable, and Dallas stars Larry Hagman, Linda Gray, and Patrick Duffy.
Motown mogul Berry Gordy's life story is coming to Broadway. And so the songs will be music greats he discovered, from the Jackson 5 to Diana Ross and the Supremes. The show is set for a spring 2013 opening at the Nederlander. Motown, the musical, will track how Gordy, as a young songwriter, founded Tamla Records with an $800 loan from his family in 1959 and went on to become a musical force.
And actor and Windy City QueerCast guest host Coleman Domingo has joined the cast of openly gay director Lee Daniels' film The Butler. The Butler, which starts shooting later this month in New Orleans, is based on the life of Eugene Allen, a White House servant who worked for 8 first families over 3 decades. Forrest Whitaker plays Allen, and Oprah Winfrey portrays his wife. Others in the film are Matthew McConaughey, John Cusack, Jane Fonda, and Lenny Kravitz.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
This is Amy Kelly, the Windy City 2009 Gay Idol, and you're listening to the Windy City QueerCast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 16th, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Don't miss Immediate Family, a new American play written by Paul Oakley Stovall and directed by Tony Award winner Felicia Rashad. Modern family meets soul food in Immediate Family, a funny, heartwarming show set in Chicago's Hyde Park. Immediate Family is playing now through August 5th at Goodman Theater. Visit ImmediateFamilyPlay.com.
Oedipus El Rey is a sexy modern Latino take on the Oedipus story in its Chicago premiere and directed by Che Yu. Oedipus El Rey runs at Victory Gardens Theater through July 29th. For tickets, visit victorygardens.org.
Don't miss the best new musical of the summer. Eastland tells the true Chicago story of the passengers of the ill-fated boat that capsized on the Chicago River in 1915. Unforgettable melodies and soaring harmonies give voice to the victims and heroes of that fateful day. For tickets, go to lookingglasstheater.org. Eastland must close August 19th. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at windycityqueercast.com. So this June, Windy City Media Group named its 10th Windy City Gay Idol, the culmination of the 10th year of our competition, this year sponsored by Smirnoff Vodka, ended on June 16th at Sidetrack, again, where after 3 months of events in over 11 bars across Chicago's GLBT community, Robert Hughes was crowned the 2012 Windy City Gay Idol. And I'm just thrilled to sit down here in Andersonville, which is kind of both of our hood, and get to know our new idol. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Now, first of all, I love that you have an accent. You're a good Southern boy.
I am.
And I, in getting to know you a little bit before we did this interview and sat down and talked, I realized, wow, we're going to have a lot to talk about because you hail from Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're born and raised.
Born and raised.
And do you feel like you're a country boy?
In this city, yeah.
You probably always felt, I mean, I know when I moved here, I did not feel that Southern. And then I moved here and I became almost more Southern.
Well,
when I moved here.
When I was born, my parents lived on a pig farm.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it doesn't get much more country than that. So,
a pig farm in Memphis? Or outside
of
Memphis?
On the outskirts, Fisherville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Nobody will know where that is, but...
Well, you have no idea. We have listeners all over the world. So somebody might be listening right from there, and this will be a great, you know, way for them to identify that they're not alone, perhaps. So, you're really new to Chicago. When did you move here?
Almost 3 months ago.
Okay, so that would be March, April?
March 30th.
March 30th, end of March. And why Chicago? Why did the country boy...
Why not?
Why not? But seriously, what started beckoning? How did Chicago start beckoning Robert Hughes to
come? I have an uncle that lives here, and he's been really encouraging ever since I came out to come up to Chicago, and has brought me up here for the past few years for Pride or for Market Days to show me how amazing the city is. And I fell in love with it when I was in eighth grade. So
yeah, you came up to visit your uncle?
Yes.
Yes. Now, how long have you been out?
10 years this year.
10 years. Okay. It's a good thing to do on the 10 years we were starting Gay Idol. 10 years, you're now our Gay Idol. Like it. I think that works out well. Was your uncle one of the first people you told? Because your uncle is gay as well.
Yes.
And he lives here?
He lives here. He lives in the same neighborhood as me. He was one of the first. Yeah. I mean, I told some of my friends beforehand and then quickly transitioned to parents, which was...
a whole new story.
Whole other story.
How did that go?
It was rough at the start, but over a few years, because I was raised Southern Baptist, so it was a lot to discuss.
And was that a big, I mean, had you known for a long time, like, how did that choice to kind of come out come to you?
Well, I had a strange, it's a strange situation, it's kind of a long story, but I actually ended up moving in with one of my first roommates when I went to UT Chattanooga for college.
I didn't know you went to UT Chattanooga. This gets even closer to home. You get even closer to Cleveland, Tennessee. Okay.
I was there for about 4 years. Didn't graduate from there, but while I was in school there, one of my roommates ended up being gay as well. And he kind of internalized it, and it turned into a strange situation. And so I didn't want to get pushed in the direction that he got pushed in.
Mm.
And so I decided to go ahead and just tell my parents on Good Friday.
I did the day after Christmas. Always a good religious holiday.
And the pictures afterwards are so precious.
Exactly, right?
Went ahead and told my sister and my family. And they called my uncle to figure out where to go from there.
So they knew about your uncle?
They knew. It was kind of understood. But I don't think it had ever been discussed openly.
Yeah. So. And do they know that you're a gay idol now?
They do, and they were cheering for me from Nashville, Tennessee, where they live now.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. So, okay, the uncle had told you came up here when you were in the eighth grade, kind of got a taste of the city. What finally made the move happen for you this March?
I was in a place with my job. I worked for the Pink Palace Museum in Memphis.
Know it well.
For 2.5 years, and felt like I had reached a point where I could move on to something... different.
Yep.
With that experience.
Yep.
And why not just go ahead and come on up to Chicago? Because we've been talking about it for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, what did you study? Is music and singing what you went to school for?
No. It's all art related. But
yes.
I was a painting and drawing major for a while, and then I transitioned into graphic design, and graduated in 2010.
Wow. Okay. So. Now, how did you hear? You come to Chicago. You've been here 90 days. How did you hear? Well, it's not even 90 days. I don't know. Like, how did you hear about the Windy City Gay Idol competition, and where and why did you go out to compete?
Well, I started looking up things about Pride because some of my friends were going to come up to visit and are coming up, actually, this weekend.
Yep.
And saw something, a little link about Windy City Gay Idol.
Yep.
And then saw all the different bars it was going to be at, and picked one out, came out that night.
Which bar?
Diaz Tequila.
Yes.
And I actually didn't get voted in by the audience. The judges gave me a rainbow ticket.
That is a new thing that we did this year.
Mm-hmm.
Promotions director Cynthia and I, we talked about how, you know, there's just so many great singers, and sometimes people don't have all their friends there. They've just mustered up the courage to sneak out and haven't told anybody, and to really let those talented people... then go and have some time to get people to come. So you got one of the first rainbow cards probably we've ever given. Yes.
I think only two people that made it into the finals came on a rainbow ticket.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
So
the judges saw something in you. Who was judging that night? Do you remember?
Angelique.
Yeah, Angelique Monroe.
And two other very handsome fellows, but I don't remember their names.
So what did you sing? Did you know what you were going to sing when you got there? Did you...
Yeah, I sang Try a Little Tenderness by Otis Redding.
Mm-hmm.
And I had done that in a bar. I used to go to the same bar in Memphis, the P&H. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Girl, you and I have been slung up in lots of the poor and hungry places of the world. See, I went to the P&H when you were so not legal. And I went to the P&H. It's one of my favorite things. Is I went every Thursday night. It was all the... When I lived in Memphis, which was a while ago, it was a tradition that every Thursday night, all of the different college, community, and professional theater companies in town, all the actors and artists went to the P&H, the Poor and Hungry, on Thursday nights, and Miss Wanda was there, the legendary owner, who's not there anymore.
No.
She sold it, and we were, it was us and bikers and that, and smokers. So,
oh, it's very smoky.
It's very smoky. And I would go and get a grilled cheese with two little dill pickle slices on top of it. And Marty, who was the line cook, knew exactly what I wanted, but she only had about one tooth in her head. And it's changed a lot. And I would play darts. I would play darts and smoke cigarettes. And there was a lesbian bar right next door.
Drew's Place.
Well, it wasn't called that. It was called WKRB.
Oh, okay. Well, it's actually right next door now. There's a place called 901.
Okay.
And then a little bit further down is the lesbian bar, Drew's Place.
Okay.
Which I also did karaoke there before.
So you're doing karaoke at the P&H.
Yes.
I feel like I've homegrown you for this competition. The spark of an idea 10 years ago was also you could be the 10th annual winner. And I have to say, full discretion, like, this is my first time meeting Robert. I didn't know Robert. It's scary that you are like a long lost something. Okay, so you'd done that song before, so you felt confident. You showed up.
Yes. And
you knocked it out of the park, obviously.
Standing on a little 2.5-foot
yep.
wide bar
yep.
at Diaz Tequila, terrified, with a light shining in your face. But I felt pretty good
yep.
singing it. And there were some other really fierce competitors. The, yep. the person that won and the person that got second place didn't show up to the semifinals, though.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah,
I was the only Diaz Tequila person that came to the final.
Well, there you go. So, semifinals. Had you been to Sidetrack Bar before? Because it's a big... You go from that little, you know, platform at Diaz Tequila, and then you go to semifinals where there's 500 people, and every inch of the bar is covered, and it's a much bigger deal once you hit the semis.
It's much bigger, and I've been there several times before,
yeah.
so... Because I feel like that's kind of the go-to bar.
Yeah. It's one of the biggies.
It's the big bar. It's got the slushies and the...
Yep.
Really cute bartenders.
Yep, yep.
So
how did you feel, and what did you sing that day? Because that's you only get one shot to make it to the top 12 on that. You got to kind of knock it out of the park. There's 24 singers.
Well, I didn't realize. I took the critiques that the judges had given at Diaz Tequila, and they said I sounded like Joe Cocker.
Ah.
So I decided to pick another Joe Cocker song and go a little softer and sweeter with it.
Yep.
And did You Are So Beautiful.
Yep.
But it wasn't any of the same judges.
Oh, right.
This time around. So I just had to
yep.
had to give it to them. And
it worked out.
It worked.
So now, who are your musical, before we head to the finals, because I know it was a whirlwind day, and feels like such an epic thing from beginning to end. You kind of can't believe how long you've been there and how much you've gone through. But tell me, who are your musical influences? I mean, you grew up in the South. You're mentioning Cocker, you're mentioning Otis Redding. I know a little bit of what you did at the finals. So who are some of those musical influences for you?
Well, first is my mom.
Yep.
She's got a gorgeous voice. Mm-hmm. And she sang Broadway tunes in high school. And we mm-hmm. used to sing in the car to everything. Celine Dion, Mariah uh-huh. Carey.
Yep.
I mean, gay as it gets. But
yep.
we sang it.
Hey, amen.
And she's been a huge influence about it. Mm-hmm. And she's got horrible stage fright.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of...
Her best work is in that car. You've probably seen her best work then, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's actually a YouTube video of both of us singing together that my uncle saved. And it's really crazy because after we posted all the videos of the performances from Saturday,
uh-huh.
he posted that, and it's from 2007. It was just a huge blast from the past because it's a country
funny.
Song.
Oh, how funny.
But aside from her... I mean, obviously, Otis, Al
yep.
Green, Aretha Franklin,
yep.
Sam and Dave, Sam
yep.
Cooke.
Yeah.
Praise the ground that man walked on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish she was around today, but Amy Winehouse was bringing out some really good stuff, and then...
Yeah, yeah.
She
left us.
She
left us, unfortunately. So, with all those musical influences, how do you then gear up for the finals and decide? Because for those of you who don't know, in the final competition, each singer, if they are going to win, will have sung three songs. They have to pick three songs, one for the first round, then it's down to the top six, second round, and then it's the top three where they duke it out. So did you have a strategy going in, and what were the songs you wanted to sing, and did you have that all on your own, or did you talk to other people, or how did that come about?
I asked Facebook what I should sing, and most of my friends have been out to karaoke with me before.
Because you go to karaoke a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You love to sing.
Oh, big ol' ham.
Yeah.
And none of them will go up and sing with me. But I picked songs that I was really comfortable with, mm-hmm. that I knew I could sing well, that were all powerful.
Yep.
Because I felt like if I tried to, because I think a couple of people played it really safe and picked really soft songs that were beautiful, mm-hmm. but didn't really have a lot of impact.
Yep. Song selection is key. You hear that on the television show, but it really is, mm-hmm. you know?
And I thought about reality TV and the way it always works out. How people that don't make it out were always like, oh, well, I had so much to offer.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you need to offer it all.
Yeah.
Now.
So what was the first round song?
First round was Take Me to the River,
yep.
by Al Green.
Excellent. The Reverend.
The Reverend.
The Reverend Al Green, who you yes. can go hear in church in Memphis if you want to head down with Robert or me one time. Excellent. And then how about your second round when you made it past that one?
Second round, I went back to Try a Little Tenderness.
Right. That's a great crowd pleaser, too.
Just because that one I can really bring it home. And I started really, I sang so loud and hard that my voice started to give near mm-hmm. the end, and I got kind of nervous, but I just had to play with the audience
mm-hmm.
when it started getting all cracky. And,
yep.
And they were along with me for the ride, so.
And then in your final three, had you felt like you'd watched, you know, your other competitors and had a camaraderie? It just seemed like you all had a lot of love and camaraderie and championing each other.
They were so much fun, and I feel like we should all go out.
Yeah.
To a karaoke bar and just
Well, I'm sure you'll all three have some opportunities to sing. It usually works out that way.
Rob was so fun to watch perform because he was all over that stage, mm-hmm. and he's just a little fellow, but he's got some soul in him, too.
Mm-hmm.
And poor Megan, who was
on crutches,
this full leg cast, she has this beautiful kind of ethereal voice. Mm-hmm. She did kind of like Rebecca Spector and...
Mm-hmm. Regina Spector. That's okay.
The gays are going to kill me.
The gays are not going to kill you.
She just had a gorgeous voice.
Yeah.
And she's got a great story. I mean, she's been in the military and she's fought for this country, so.
Yeah.
I just really respected both of them and had a great time making it all the way with them.
And your big final song was?
I Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Yep.
The Temptations did it. Marvin Gaye did it. I think that's the version that I went with.
Yep.
Who hasn't done it, really?
Yep.
California Raisins.
So, tell me, what your takeaway is from the competition. I mean, you know, was it a good opportunity for you to meet people and kind of feel a part of the community? I mean, now you're already an idol and you're somebody that's a face and your face is all over the papers. But I mean, what on a personal level, like, what did you take away from it? Just like kind of the people and the event and performing.
Well, it made me feel like I belong here. The feedback from the judges and just the reaction that I got from the audience and the other competitors, and you know, my uncle was there and my roommate was there and his friends, and just it made me feel like I was a part of the community.
Mm-hmm. And that's big for somebody from small town Tennessee. I mean, for those of us who can't even imagine, you know, there's those moments, and I don't know, maybe you had them. Men usually have them earlier than I had them, but where you just kind of feel like, well, I'm never going to be able to have the life that I want or really be able to be myself or
Memphis,
that I'll be celebrated for being who I am.
I'm sure you remember this, but Memphis, if you went anywhere, you knew a bunch of people there no matter...
Yo, yeah.
You knew everybody.
Yep.
Or if you didn't know them, you knew you had one degree of separation between you and them.
Yep.
And here, it's so much bigger and so much... I don't know. I just...
It's bigger, but it'll start being small or right-sized, I think, pretty quick for you. I think you have settled in. And how about the people? Have you made some connections and some new friends from this whole experience?
Definitely.
Yeah?
Definitely. I hope that, like I said, I hope that the rest of the competitors, Jennifer and D'Angelo and David mm-hmm. and Lexi and I don't remember all, E... who was mm-hmm. so much fun. Did you see him perform?
Mm-mm.
He had a horse tail.
Mm-mm.
He did Wild Horses, and he had his
there
hair up
go.
Like Saint Jaya. And
you gotta love it.
Yeah.
I had Elvis on stilts one year, so You know, see, what you don't know is that I used to host all of them. And then I put myself out the pasture and let Sophia Sapphire, who is carrying my baton quite gracefully,
she was wonderful.
Take over. So you go ahead and eat, because you're sitting here hungry. I don't want your lobster mac and cheese to get cold. Hanging out at Lady Gregory. Give them a plug. You win $1,000 cash, a trip for two to Vancouver, tickets to Madonna when she comes to town. So something to look forward to in the fall. What are you gonna do with the cash? Have you ever been to Vancouver? How excited are you about these prizes, and what are you gonna do with them? Who are you gonna take?
The cash is going straight to bills.
There you go. So, useful.
Yes.
Pays for some work that you put out there singing some songs.
And I've never been to Canada. I have a friend that lives there actually now. But when I
file for that passport soon, if you
already have it. I just left the country for the first time in January.
Good.
So I have a passport, and I'm actually supposed to coordinate and possibly perform at Vancouver Pride.
That's exactly right.
So I'm really, really excited about
that.
That's
super, super fun. It is one of my favorite cities I've ever been to. They took me up there a few years ago before they started sponsoring Idol, and I have to tell you, it is great. You are going to love it. It feels a lot like Chicago, but just different on the on an ocean, and it's lovely. You're going to have a blast. So you'll be performing in Vancouver. Pride is right before Market Days here, so
it's August 5th, I think.
Yeah, it's the week before. So it's pretty exciting, and you're going to be singing the Star Spangled Banner at the Force football playoff game.
Yes.
So appearances are starting for you.
Already.
And who do you think you're going to take to Vancouver? Do you know? Is there somebody special in your life, or are you single, man? Because you're awfully cute, so we want you to get laid no matter what happens. So we don't say that in the cash and prizes, but we hope that I used to say from the microphone, if you win this thing, you should get laid tonight.
Well, I'm single. I'm mingling. So.
All right, single and mingling.
Yes. So we'll see. Maybe by August there might be somebody, or maybe I'll just take a friend, or
that gay uncle might be pretty good to take too.
Exactly.
As a great mentor for you. And so might we see you out doing the karaoke somewhere at a bar? You got some haunts that you like to hang out in?
Well, so far I've really only gone to Mary's Attic, aside from, and I know that's not karaoke, but...
Nope.
But I definitely want to try some, is it karaoke
or karaoke? Karaoke, Cray. I call it karaoke, because his name's Cray.
Okay, that works.
Yeah. You should head up to Jackhammer. I seem to think they would like you up there.
I have done Jackhammer once. I was a little buzzed by that.
There you go. It's late night. It's close to us. We should just call each other and meet up there.
Sounds perfect.
We'll bring the Megan Murphy. We'll bring the Mitchell Fane, because they live in my house, and then we'll go.
It's a double day.
It's a double day. I love it. Well, we look forward to touching base with you, seeing how Vancouver Pride goes, all of your trips. I'm jealous that you're going to Madonna. But I did get those tickets for you through Smirnoff. So
thank you.
Yay, Smirnoff.
Thank you.
And congratulations. It's lovely to have you a part of our community. And we're going to let you reign for a whole year and see how you do.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
Well, everybody, have a wonderful week. I'm doing some traveling. And next week, in honor of that, American Airlines, we're going to talk with you about just what leaders they've been in the GLBT community. What does it take for an organization to say, hey, we're gay friendly, or we score well with the GLBT community for our employees and for our customers? What does that mean exactly? And I'll tell you a little bit maybe about my travels at that time, but surely coming up, you're going to hear where I am heading, because I'm heading off outside the U.S. country zone. I'm crossing the big waters, and I'm heading over to Europe. So more on that. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.